Hello everyone, thank you very much for joining this talk. My name is Fan Zhang. I'm the network software engineer in Intel Shannon Ireland. I've been working on the crypto database acceleration for over 10 years, and I've been working on the DDK and the VPP crypto and IPsec for over 5 years. So today's my topic is SQL Elephant Auxiliary, how to accelerate IPsec Elephant flows. So this is agenda for today's topic. First, I will briefly describe the elephant flow concept and point out the bottleneck to secure them with the existing open source IPsec solutions. So we will bring about our answer to fix those bottlenecks. So the proposal was built on top of FIDO VPP and VPP IPsec. So we will describe that. We will also describe the crypto infrastructure and the engines used on top of VPP IPsec. With a synchronous crypto engine, we will be able to accelerate the VPP IPsec single flow throughput. But to improve the performance even higher, we will describe our ongoing project to scale the single IPsec flow to 100 gig per flow throughput. And in the end, we will recap the presentation with a summary. First, what is Elephant Flow? It's an extremely large continuous flow in internet. So it only takes 4.7% of the packets in the internet in total, but when it's active, it will takes over 40% of bandwidth as well. Leaving the elephant flow aside, let's look at how the user space IPsec data plane approach nowadays is used to process any flows, securing them with IPsec. First, we will isolate and limit the per core processing resources. Those will be either the CPU core resources or the dedicated hardware like Intel Keratin resources. So with that, to make sure every core has the availability to process the IPsec flow. First, second, we will do a flow to core affinity, which limits a flow is processed by one and only by one core. This helps reduce maximize the core cache utilization and also eliminates the core to core race condition. Bring back the elephant flow. To secure the elephant flow with this existing IPsec data plane approach, it will be very difficult. The reason for that is, first, the crypto processing requires a large amount of cycles, where elephant flow is mostly large packets, as large as your MTU codes. Second, the flow to core affinity will always make one core maximum extremely busy. The reason for that is you don't have many elephant flow happening in your system at once. So that's the reason other cores will remain relaxing. And a perfect core, extremely powerful to handle the flow, also means waste the cycle most of the time because the same reason the elephant flow doesn't happen often. If you have a big flow coming in, you want to load balancing this flow to multiple cores. Same as the regular elephant flow processing way to with the IPsec, you will have problem because it will cause a race condition. Multiple cores will fight to update the sequence number of the same security association. So that should need their special treatment. We will describe later. To overcome these problems, we propose our answer with the FIDO VPP IPsec. So first, what is a FIDO VPP IPsec? With that, we have to introduce DBDK a bit. DBDK is a development kit on the Linux Foundation open source project. So it provides the framework, NPM, and libraries, and it provides a number of drivers from different vendor to do the fast packet I/O. So people to want to use DBDK, they have to run the right application on top of DBDK with the libraries DBDK provided, or directly use them by using the applications that you're running on top of DBDK, which includes OVS, Tungsten Fabric, and the FIDO VPP. So FIDO VPP in comparison it's the same. It's one of the Linux Foundation open source projects. It provides, but a different DBDK. It is a network function application. It provides packet processing pipeline. It is configuration driven, composable, and extensible. Because it's built on top of DBDK, it inherits the rich libraries and functionalities and the driver supports of DBDK, and it has its own native drivers. And the FireWPP has a wider protocol support. So for user who needs the support on top of these existing protocol supports, they can write their plugin code and into the FireWPP seamlessly. So FireWPP is widely deployed on OpenStack Kubernetes and some discrete appliance already. So FireWPP IPsec is a very important component inside FireWPP. It is open source production ready IPsec implementation. It is capable of doing single server, dual socket, 1 terabit IPsec processing already, on top of the latest Intel Ice Lake and the Columbia Vellnik. It supports a wide range of protocols, authentication header, ESP, and ESP over UDP and ESP over GRE. It supports major crypto algorithms include, and it supports multiple crypto engine plugins running underneath. For CPU-based crypto acceleration or local-side hardware acceleration, VPP can seamlessly enable that in the same machine with no problem. Most importantly, it's efficient and cloud-friendly. Before VPP 2005, the VPP IPsec is running on top of their native crypto infrastructure. So native crypto infrastructure is a generic infrastructure that provides symmetric crypto service within DPDK, within VPP, sorry. So it provides a generic API for user graph nodes to consume the crypto capability. The API includes the key management and crypto operations. It has an advantage of performance availability and flexibility, but it doesn't have offload support, hardware offload support, which means a core's maximum throughput is a single flow, single IPsec flow's maximum throughput. You cannot scale more than that. So to scale the VPP single IPsec flow throughput, we can do offloading the crypto. The reason for that is the packet processing for an IPsec package is fixed independent of the packet size, but the crypto is not. So we can offload the crypto workload to dedicated hardware or like an Intel QAT or dedicated CPU cores. It will help gaining more cycles for their RX core to do the packet IO and snacket processing. However, dedicated hardware and dedicated CPU cores are two different things. We need a generic asynchronous crypto infrastructure to support both. That's why we upstream the VPP asynchronous crypto infrastructure in VPP 2005. So it shares the same key management as a synchronous crypto infrastructure. You don't need any more coding on top of that. It provides a generic enqueue and dequeue handler. So different crypto engines can plug in their handlers into the infrastructure to support this section. So user graph nodes, as the ESP encrypted tunnel graph nodes showing the graph, we'll do the enqueue their packets. And a dedicated dispatch crypto dispatch node showing as an orange node in the graph, we'll pulling the dequeue, we'll continuously call the dequeue function to retrieve their process the packets back to the VPP mainstream pipeline of graph nodes, like they push them into their graph nodes like ESP for encrypted tunnel post. With this, you can achieve the synchronous crypto way of working inside the VPP. So what we did there first is adding the QAT hardware acceleration with the DPDK CryptoDev. So DPDK CryptoDev has been well known as one of their most performant crypto infrastructure. So what we find out is the DPDK CryptoDev is the API and the data structure is different than VPP. The cost of adjusting the way of working and the cost of translating data structures is actually costly process. That's why in DPDK 2011 we proposed DPDK new CryptoDev raw API. It has a more compact data structure. It supports raw buffer pointer and the physical address input. It helps in the end to gaining more 15% performance between the VPP 2005 and the VPP 2009. So it's been officially used as the default CryptoDev engine inside of VPP nowadays. What about if you don't have a QAT? We can use multiple CPU cores under the software crypto scheduling engine to achieve that. So what is the software scheduler crypto engine? It is a pure software crypto engine that utilizes dedicated CPU cores to process crypto workloads. So think about the picture over here. You have the arc thread in the middle, which encode the packets into a dedicated queue. The crypto workers, they're all red and blue ones. They will continuously scan in these queues. So if they find a packet inside of the queue, his status is not processed yet, it will update as a work in progress and process them. Once it's done, it will mark the status as complete. So from the beginning to end, the crypto workers won't dequeue any packets, but only update the status. It is the same Arcthread running the crypto dispatch graph node, scanning the same queue, and retrieve the first number of packets that has the status of complete back from the queue, that maintaining the packet order. So with this, all three cores can work harmoniously and efficiently to one help each other. So if every so in this design, every core could work as the Arcthread or as a worker cores. It will help each other to achieve helping each other to gain the maximum throughput. And also, there we were thinking about when we was upstreaming, we were thinking about the crypto dispatch node running the pooling mode, which will get the best performance for sure, but it's unfriendly to cloud native use cases and it wastes a lot of cycles if there's no crypto workload to process. That's why we made it supporting interrupt mode. So every graph node can signal and wake up from the signal by other threads. So once a package, we do active pooling within our interrupt handling. So these crypto worker core orange, the orange and the blue ones, they will try to process as many packets as possible before they fall back to sleep again. And we do a process syncing when crypto frame is enqueued and processed. So when it's enqueued, the Arcthread will signal the crypto worker 1 and 2. When they finish processing, they will signal the Arcthread for the crypto dispatch. So it will help maximizing the efficiency. So with the asynchronous crypto, we can achieve a single IPsec flow for up to 40 gig. And that's it. Why is that? Why we cannot get higher? Because every crypto, even with the crypto offloaded, there's still heavy packet IO process, there's still heavy stack processing left. So to achieve the performance even higher, we need to offload more workloads to the dedicated CPU cores. But to do that, so it's not a single crypto workload anymore. We need to think about the way that you can do the load balancing and reordering costlessly. So Intel DLB can actually help with that. Intel DLB is a dedicated hardware that can do the packet distribution and aggregation while maintaining the order from RX to TX. From the picture you see over here, from 0 to 5, the packet is ordered no matter how many worker cores in the between to share the workload processing. So we have the hardware. How can we utilize it into the IPsec? So first, let's look at the graph over here. So for a single package, this is the stages that need to be executed before encrypted packets is going out. Oh, this is encryption, by the way. So you have pre-IPsec, including RX, packet classification. You have to do a SA lookup. Then you have to update the sequence number. And as I said, this is the places where the race condition happens if you offload it to multiple cores. Then you have the heaviest add tuner header plus SEV operation and synchronous crypto. And in the end, you have the TX. So if we can say, okay, updated SA sequence number cannot be handled by multiple cores. For a single IPsec flow, we can use one core to do RX only. We do pre-IPsec workload, we do SA lookup, and then we update the SA sequence number. Once it's updated, we enqueue them into DLB. DLB will distribute them to multiple worker cores. This worker core does the most heavy lifting of their either internal header and ICV and plus synchronous crypto. Once it's done, it enqueue the packets back to the DLB. Then the packets will be handled by the TX core for the post-IPsec processing. With this, we should be able to get your single IPsec flow up to 100 gigabits per second. This is ongoing. We estimate to finish an upstream by the end of 2021. Okay, the summary. So today we talked about the VPP synchronous crypto infrastructure, which is performant but failed to scale. So we provide the way of the scaling the IPsec throughput single flow by using by offloading crypto workload to dedicated CPU core or dedicated hardware accelerator. And with the asynchronous crypto engine, we can achieve 40 gig IPsec elephant flow processing. To scale the performance even higher, we can utilize the Intel DLB or DBDK event depth to achieve that, to offload most of the workload to the workers. And that's the end of my talk. Thank you very much. And let's back to host.
Shortly. And I'd say we're live. At least I hope we're live. So, Fan, thank you for a great talk. Really interesting.
Thank you, Ray.
I want to go back to a question that Vincent Jardin asked earlier. At I think it was I was on the previous talk. Whenever you use asynchronous crypto worker cores, how do you maintain packet ordering?
So the idea it works is every, let's say, every core that contribute, processing their packets instead of crypto, it's acting as a producer core. So which we it will enqueue the crypto ops into this queue it owns. So the crypto worker cores, other than the producer core, if they are voluntarily processing the crypto core for the producer core, it will, instead of dequeuing from that queue, it will only updates on queue objects status inside. We are using atomic operation. So yes, atomic operation will cost some cycles, but it's compared to the IX and TX efficiency. It's let's say it's not that big, and those worker cores, once you process finish the processing that your bunch of packets inside these queue objects, each will again update the status. This time, instead of using atomic, it directly writes that to say, hey, I'm done. Then the same thread that enqueue the packets, we'll scan the queue from the first object to the last object and finds the first N number of queue objects that has the status of done and dequeues them. So their ordering of their packets it's actually naturally resolved.
So it never actually leaves the queue. It always
Yes.
stays on the same queue. So there's no concern there.
Yeah.
So at this juncture, I'll just say we have a minute left. So if you have any questions, additional questions for his fan, because I'm conscious we're about to run out of time, you can switch over to the hallway discussion, and the link for the hallway discussion will appear momentarily. So I don't know, fan, if you want to tackle the second question, which was, what's your future plans?